I'll dismiss the worship team, or you guys could go ahead and go right now. Either way, it's okay. Amen. I'm going to read two scriptures. One is Isaiah 45, verses 2 and 3, and the other is Isaiah 54, verse 2 and 3. Isaiah 45 says, I will go before you, and I will level the mountains. I will break down the gates of bronze, and I will cut through the bars of iron. I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summoned you by name. 54, 2 and 3 says, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, and do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and the left, and your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Father God, Lord, we just thank you and praise you, God, for once again for bringing us here, God. We thank you, God, for your presence that's here, God. I pray that you would speak to me, God. Help me communicate easily, God. Help us to just have our hearts and our ears ready, God, to listen and to learn. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, let's say amen. Give someone a high five, and you could go ahead and have your seat. Thank you, Siobhan, worship team. Amen. I'm going to start with a joke. I just found this. It's kind of an old one, but I'm going to start with it anyway. It said, Bob was in trouble. He forgot his wedding anniversary. His wife was really upset. How many of you guys ever forgot your wedding anniversary? No, you guys are on it. Just real quick, me and Siobhan just celebrated 13 years of marriage on the 10th. So that's awesome. She told him, this is not, when I say Bob, I don't mean Dre. This is actually a Bob, okay? She told him, tomorrow morning I expect to find a gift in the driveway that goes from 0 to 200 in 6 seconds, and it better be there. The next morning, he got up early, left for work. When his wife woke up, she looked out the window, and sure enough, there was a box, gift wrapped, in the middle of the driveway. Confused, the wife put on a robe and ran out the driveway, brought the box back in the house. She opened it and found a brand new bathroom scale. Bob has been missing since Friday. 0 to 200. You guys will get that in a little bit. This morning, I want to talk about a new season. Well, how many know that this Bob guy needed a new start, a new season, right? But this morning, I want to talk about a new season. Before I get into it, I just want to thank God for my salvation. For bring me into this ministry. I am a descendant of this ministry. I mean, you know that I have never been addicted to drugs. I have never had to get caught up in gangs. I have never had to go that way because my parents chose to accept Jesus into their lives and raise us as godly children. I mean, you know, all my brothers and my sister were serving God, and that's an awesome testimony. And how many know that your sons and your daughters can have that same testimony where they'll never have to go and they'll never have to face those things of the world because of you answering the call. Amen? I also want to thank our pastor, Pastor Danny, Sister Barbara, for giving me this opportunity. I don't take it lightly. Here on a Sunday morning, it's a privilege to get behind this pulpit. They send their love. They want to make sure that they tell you that they love you and that they're praying for us here. And they just want to say thank you so much for all those who served at World Conference. Put a lot of work in, but how many know that it was well worth it and God moved in a mighty way there at conference. Amen? So here at this conference, our 50-year celebration, our 50-year anniversary, we heard a lot about the vision of Victory Outreach. We heard about how the vision has not changed. Our vision is still to reach treasures out of darkness, to go into the inner cities of the world, to preach the gospel. We heard things like about how we got to keep the same values as they were. We celebrated. I mean, you know, 50 years of ministry is a big thing, right? We celebrated, and we also stepped into the year of Jubilee. In the Bible, in the Israelites, when they had left captivity from Egypt, they had been in the promised land for 49 years, and on this 50th year they started the year of Jubilee. And kind of what a few things about the year of Jubilee was it was a time when debts were canceled. Well, how many of you guys need some debts canceled? Yeah, it was a time of a fresh start, of a new season, right? And Today, again, I'm going to talk about a new season and a fresh start. Turn to your neighbor, tell him, new season. Tell him, fresh start. Amen. So a new season, it brings new hope. So like in sports, when a new season, it puts all the teams back on an even playing field, right? Every year, you don't start with your past record. Come on, how many of you guys need your records gone? You don't start with your past record. Every team starts at zero wins and zero losses. It's fresh. It's brand new. But how many know that a new season requires new things? We can't go into the new season the same way that we left the last season. Unless we're going to get the same results. So here in the NBA, something just happened. It was the NBA draft. I don't know if there are any NBA fans. Anybody? Okay, anybody that is not an NBA fan, I'm sorry. We're going to use this analogy. We used this kind of for offering the other day, but I'm using it again. But a new season, they have this thing called the NBA draft, right? And each team, they get to pick players that were coming from college. They get to pick players that they needed. Maybe they were struggling in shooting, so they draft shooters. Or they make these big trades, right? And they try to build their team up to be better coming into this new season. How many know that? If we want to be better this season and break out of all the stuff that we were in last season, how many of you guys have went through some struggles this last year? How many of you guys have been through some things? How many of you guys have dealt with sickness or loss of family members or dealt with some stuff, right? We need God to give us a new season, a breakthrough this season. And if we want that, we want our new season to become better than the last season, we got to do some things a little bit different. Amen? So I'm going to give you a quick story about when I was in college. I played college baseball for 2 years in Colorado at Trinidad State, and then I went to Morehead State, which is Division I school in Kentucky. And when I went over there, our coach had brought in 13 junior college transfers. Junior college is like two-year schools. And so they were trying to make a change because the year before I got there, we were not very good. They were like the last team in our league. They were not very good. So our coach, they came and they did something different. They brought in 13 junior college transfers. We brought in All-Americans. We brought in a great number of talent to our team. And we went that year, and we were better than we were the last year, but we still weren't where we wanted to be. And I remember at the end of the season, I remember meeting with these 13 junior college transfers and a couple of the seniors. We went to our coach, and he said, and we pretty much told our coach, like, you're not pushing us. We're way better than what we're showing. And so the next year, our coach, we got there. We went from having one practice a day to going to 3 a days. We went from you know, just getting by to really pushing ourselves. We started the season 12-0. I was getting interviewed on TV. We were the news of the time. Morehead State, this little tiny school, was making a big name for ourselves. And it's because we went into the season doing things different. And I want to relate that to the same way as us in our new in the church. We can't go into this new season doing the same thing that we did last season. Now, how many of you guys want last year to be the same as this year? None of us. We don't want last year to be the same. We want more. How many of you guys want more from God? How many of you guys want a better relationship with God? How many of you guys want God's fire to burn in you more this year? How many of you guys want to see more people saved? How many of you want to see this church filled up? We want more. We don't want to settle for what we had in the past. Let's turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 5 and verse 24 through 34. When you get there, give me an amen. Mark chapter 5. Very famous story about the women with the issue of blood. But I want to use this story to help us get to a new season. Can someone say amen out there? Amen. You guys are scaring me. We're quiet this morning. Say Jesus. Jesus. All right. Mark chapter 5, verse 24. We're going to read 10 scriptures. The Bible says, so Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors. And she had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized the power had gone out from him. He turned around to the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered. And yet, how can you ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet with trembling and with fear and told the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. So here we have this woman who had been suffering for 12 years. We have this woman who had tried everything. She had went from doctor to doctor. She had tried this home remedy to this home remedy. She had tried everything that she could. She had spent all the money that she had. She had tried to get out of this situation, but nothing worked. And she was this way for 12 years before she decided to go to Jesus. So to this morning, I have three points, three things that we need to get to our next level. So my first point, if you're taking notes, is dependence on God. In verse 25 through 29, it said, she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she had heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Now, how many of you guys have ever tried something on your own power and it got worse, right? We try to get out of sin, or we try to stop drinking, we try to stop doing drugs, but then somehow, some way, we end up doing more. We keep messing up, and we keep failing, and we keep trying to get out, but we can't. So imagine trying to do all that you can, everything that you can, and not getting any better. But the situation getting worse. It says that she was under the care of many doctors, and she spent all that she had. And she had suffered a great deal. Up until this point, her dependence that she had placed was upon the doctors. It was upon her wealth. It was upon everything that she had tried. She had depended on the doctors to heal her. She had depended on those. She did everything that we would do if we were sick, right? If you're sick, what do? You go to the doctor. But as Christians, we also pray and believe that Jesus will heal us, right? So dependence means the state of relying on or needing someone or something for aid. It means reliance, confidence, and trust, subjection, or subordination. She needed Jesus to be her source. I don't know about you, but there came a day in my life where I was raised in church, but I did not give my life to God fully until I went to college. And when I went to college, God got a hold of me. I learned to have a prayer life. I learned to really submit unto him. And God done something powerful in my life. Amen? And I know that there's many people in here that were addicted to drugs, or they were caught up in gangs, or they were messed up. But one day Jesus came in and touched their life and changed them. Amen? So this lady, she needed Jesus to be her source. She had tried all she could do. And my question is, are we tired of suffering? Are we tired of going through the same things? Are we tired of dealing with the same trials, of going through the same struggles over and over and over? Isn't that like us sometimes? We try to get out of something and it gets worse. Or we try to do something and the results that we want, they're not the same results that we're looking for. How many know you can't get to a new level, a new season, the same way you left the last one? Let me say that one more time. You can't get to a new season or a new level the same way that you left the last one. We need to shift our dependence from the things of the world and put them on our dependence on the things of God. When the lady came to the end of herself, it said that she had tried all that she could, right? She tried going to this doctor and that doctor, and she tried everything that she could. She tried spending all the money that she had. She had no more. She was at the very end of herself. And then she heard about this dude named Jesus walking through the town, right? And she shifted her dependence on herself and the doctors. And she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, then I'll be saved. So first point to get into your next level is putting your dependence on Jesus. How many of you guys need to put your dependence on Jesus? How many of you guys need to trust Jesus with all of your life? Amen. Second point is she had to place her faith in Jesus. Let's read in verse 27 and 28. It says, when she had heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just can touch his clothes, I will be healed. So here it says that she heard about Jesus. Come on, how many of you guys somehow, some way, had heard about the Victory Outreach Men's Home or the Victory Outreach Women's Home? Or maybe you heard that, you know, it doesn't matter if you're caught up in drugs or in alcoholism or whatever it is. If you could just get a hold of Jesus, he could change your life. Come on, I know there's more people in here that Jesus did something in your life. Come on, if Jesus did something in your life, I want you to just shout. Here in this chapter alone, the chapter starts and it talks about Jesus healing a man that was possessed. So the chapter starts with him healing a man that was possessed. Later on, right before this story happens, Jesus was going to heal Jairus' daughter that was about to die. And then he gets interrupted here by this lady who touches him. Right? So this lady had heard that Jesus had healed the demon possessed, could heal the sick, that could hear it. Jesus' name was going around all over the country, and this lady had heard about Jesus. And Jesus was going to perform one miracle, all of a sudden this happens. This lady reached through the crowd, touched him, he felt power leave him. You know, that right there tells me that it doesn't matter what we're doing in our own bodies, our own time, what we have to do. We have to be like Jesus. And, you know, Jesus stopped and he met this woman right there, even though he was on his way to do something else. I mean, sometimes we get caught up with the things that we have to do, right? But there's people out here that need to hear about Jesus, right? There's people at our work. There's people that are on the streets. There's people that are hurting that need to hear about Jesus. So we can't get caught up in our own stuff, right? The Bible says that faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So this lady who was caught up in 12 years of bleeding, she began to hear that there was this guy that could heal her. She began to hear that there was this man named Jesus who was raised of a virgin, who can do miracles. She began to hear about this man, and her faith started to grow. Just like this lady believed that Jesus could heal her, we need to believe also. Not just for healing, but whatever we're going through. There's some people in here that are struggling with some situations. Maybe you're struggling with some kind of sin issue. How many know that Jesus will hear your cry if you just call out to him? I mean, if you have faith in Jesus, he can heal you. He can meet your needs. He could deliver you from addictions. He could reach your lost family members, right? Just like she believed, we need to believe also. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, it's kind of weird, all my scriptures are like disappeared, the Hebrews 11:1, but the scripture's still there. But it's all right. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. How many of you know that faith is believing that something is going to happen before you actually see it, right? Sometimes we only believe it when we see it. But this lady believed that if I could just touch the hem of his garment, that I could be healed. Imagine if us as Victory Outreach Albuquerque would begin to believe that if we could just touch Jesus, that he could fill up this church. I said, if we could just believe that if we just got a hold of Jesus, that he began to fill up this church. They began to bring in the lost, that he began to restore families, that he began to just save the lost. All it takes is us to step out, have that faith, and touch Jesus. In Mark, it said, then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet with trembling and fear. She told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter,
Your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Jesus told her, your faith has healed you. It was her faith in Jesus that healed her. Now, how many know that sometimes we have misplaced faith, right? Sometimes we place our faith in our doctors. Sometimes we place our faith in our family members. Sometimes we even place our faith in our jobs. But how many know that the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above? That means our jobs, that means our family, everything that God has given, that we have, every gift that God's given us comes from God, right? So when we place our faith in Jesus, we know that he could come through for us. He told her, go in peace and be freed from your suffering. 12 years of suffering healed instantly. Imagine the peace that she felt, the overwhelming joy that she had. How many know that when we trust God and we give him our faith and we step out and we try to touch God, that he gives us a peace, that he answers our prayers, that he answers our needs, right? So not only do we need faith, not only do we need to put our dependence on God, but we got to do something different. This lady had been struggling for 12 years. Again, she went from doctor to doctor. She tried everything. But it says that she pressed through the crowd and she reached out and touched him. How many of you guys have ever felt like God is just not there? How many of you guys have ever felt like, you know, I've tried and I've done what I can, but I just can't get a hold of God? Or I need a breakthrough. And have you ever felt like I just can't get my breakthrough? Well, tell me I'm not the only one that's felt like that. I remember one time in college, I remember I had asked God specifically to show me patience. I remember talking to God, and I remember there was a time for it was like maybe like 3 or 4 months where I just did not feel God's presence. I was praying, I was reading my Bible, I was serving, I was going to church, I was doing everything that I could, but I just couldn't feel God's presence. And I remember driving to Lexington, Kentucky. It was about an hour away, and I remember we were going to the church there. And I drove up there with my friend, and we're driving there, and I told God, if I don't feel you today, I'm done. I need to feel your presence, God. And I remember driving there. I go to church. Service was good, but I didn't feel God speaking to me. So on the way back, I remember I just began to cry. And I remember I was yelling at God, and I was telling him, like, God, you said you would never leave me. You said you'd never forsake me. You said you would be here for me. And I began to cry out to God, and he met me right there in the van with my friend. She was probably tripping, like, this guy is losing his mind. But I remember just breaking, and God met me right there in the car, and in this big old Astro van, actually. But he met me right there. And I remember I felt his presence like I had never felt his presence before. And he was showing me that we can't live on feelings, that we got to live on faith, right? And when we're going through these times where we don't feel like God's there, let me just tell you that he said he'll never leave you or forsake you, that he's there. He's always going to be there with you. She pressed through the crowd, and maybe she was feeling like, you know what, you're just not there. God, I need you. I've tried for 12 years and nothing's happened. But she pressed through the crowd. I mean, the crowd represents the obstacles that Satan tries to throw at us. There was this crowd. And imagine if Jesus walked into here today. If Jesus walked into the sanctuary today, we wouldn't care who was up here preaching. We wouldn't care what song they were playing. We want to go to Jesus, right? Have you ever seen like when a famous actor comes and all the people crowd around, let me get an autograph, right? Imagine if Jesus walked in. We would come to him with our needs saying, God, heal me of my blindness. Heal me of this. Heal me of this. God, I just want to bow at his feet in his presence, right? If Jesus walked in here today, there would be a crowd around. But it said that this lady pressed through the crowd, and she couldn't get all the way to him. She just touched the hem of his garment, right? And the crowd represents the obstacles that Satan tries to come at us. I don't know about you, but I know that there's been some obstacles in my life. I know that when I was trying to get a hold of God, certain type of sins would just keep coming up. Certain type of temptations would come my way. How many know that temptation is not of God, right? That even though we're tempted, Jesus was tempted, but he did not sin, right? Satan tries to throw temptations at us. He tries to throw obstacles. He'll try to give us a job where we have to work on Sundays and Wednesdays and Friday nights. We can't come to church, right? Satan will try whatever he can from us to get to God, to keep us to getting to God. I heard this quote the other day, and it went something like this. It's probably not exact, but it says, if Satan can't get you to backslide, he'll be content to keep you from growing. I mean, Satan doesn't care if you come to church. Satan doesn't care if you come to church, but you're not doing anything for God. If you're not getting closer to God, if you're not stopped sinning and you haven't changed your ways, Satan doesn't care if you show up to church. It's only when you press in and you get a hold of God and you start to make a difference, right? That's when Satan will come and try to take you out. But this obstacle of the crowd was there trying to keep her. And I ask you, what is trying to keep you from God? I know there's some people in here today that you're not doing all that you can for God. How do I know that? Because I feel the same way. Because I feel like I could do more for God. Right? If you're doing all you can for God, give me an amen. If not, then I don't know. Come on, we could all do more, right? The Bible says in James chapter 4 and 8, come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Come near to God. Draw near, get close, and he will come near. Draw near and come close to you. This has always been one of my favorite scriptures because this is not just some scripture. This is a promise. This is a promise that when God says, when you step out, when you take a step for me, I'm going to take a step towards you. Right? The Bible says, draw near to God and he'll come near to you. That's a promise from God. It means if we put in the effort, he'll honor us and come near to us. How many know, but it doesn't just stop there. It says, wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minders. That means to me that you can't just draw near to God without some action, right? It says, purify your hearts. Wash your hands. That means if we're full of sin or we're sinful, or we messed up, that we need to repent. We need to ask for forgiveness and change those ways and then draw near to God and then he'll come to us. To do something different means to reach out and touch Jesus. I mean, sometimes we want Jesus to be this magical genie in a bottle. Grant all of our wishes. We want him to want everything to magically get better without us doing anything. I mean, Jesus is not a genie in the bottle. He's there with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. But he is not this wish granter, right? But he'll be there with us to help us. The Bible says, you will seek me, in Jeremiah 29, I believe 13, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Let me say it one more time. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Somebody say, with all of your heart. It didn't say if you seek me half-heartedly. It didn't say if you barely try. It didn't say if you give a little bit of effort, right? But it says, when you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. How many know that sometimes we want to seek God when our heart is not focused only on God? Sometimes we have our heart half focused on God and half focused on the world. Half focused on God or half focused on something else. The Bible says, when you seek me with all of your heart, you're going to find me. If we have junk in our hearts, we need to give that to God and place our whole heart on God. You can come to the piano this morning. This morning we talked about placing our dependency on God, shifting our faith to him, and doing something different. I want to go back to where we started from. We started in the promise scripture. So I'm going to read those one more time. It says, I will go before you. I will level the mountains. I will break down the gates of bronze, and I will cut through the bars of iron. I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. Then it says, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For we will spread to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess the nations and settle in their desolate cities. How many know that it started with a vision, but it continues with work? It started with a vision, but it continues with work. These two scriptures, the two promised scriptures that God has given our ministry. He said, I'll give you the treasures out of darkness. Look around. There's treasures all over this room. When we went to World Conference, we rented out the entire Los Angeles Convention Center. And there was treasures all over the place. There was one point where the pastor said, if you were addicted to drug, raise your hand. And half of the crowd, probably more than half of the crowd, raised their hand. Said, if you were a prostitute, raise your hand. And people began to raise their hand. How many know that God has given us the treasures out of darkness? But that it started with that vision. And he said, I will go before you. I will break down the gates of bronze. I will give you the hidden treasure so you will know that I am the Lord. That second scripture, he shifts it from I to you. He says, stretch your curtains wide. Lengthen your cord. Strengthen your stakes. God started this ministry, but it's our responsibility to take action to keep it going. Each and every one of us have that responsibility. It says, stretch your curtains wide. That means make room. That means you make room. God gave us this awesome ministry. He placed in the heart of Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie. And it's went from a small little East Los Angeles church to reaching all of Los Angeles, to Northern California, to the United States. So now we're in over 30 countries. We're in over 30 countries of the world reaching treasures out of darkness all over the world. God gave our ministry these promised scriptures. And here at our 50 years, we're 50 years, we've seen this come to pass. We've been reaching hurting people all over the world. We've reached the hidden treasures. We've expanded to the right and the left. We've inherited the nations. But how many know there's more land to take? I know there's more land to take. There's more people that need to hear about Jesus. There's more people that need to get saved. Like I said earlier, 50 years of ministry, the year of Jubilee, a year of celebration, a year where our debts have canceled, a new season, a new start. We have an opportunity to come into a new season and expect God to do new things. How many know the difference between getting prayers answered and just having prayers there is your expectation? Sometimes we come to God and we're like, God, I really need a new job. God, help me. But then we don't really believe that God can do it. How many know that if we come with expectancy, that God will answer our prayers, right? If we expect God to fill up this church with people, guess what? He's going to do it, but he's going to do it through you and through me. God can do it, but we need to expect God to do it. This morning, I want to ask a simple question. Why don't we all stand to our feet? I want to ask this question. How do you want to come into your new season? Do you want to come in struggling, barely making it? Do you want to come in doing the same thing that we did last year? Or do you want to come into it placing our dependency and faith on Him? Do you want to come to it seeking God, going after Him with all of our hearts? Come on, think about that. Close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. This is what I want you to do just for the next minute or so. I want you to think about where you're at right now. And I want you to think about everything that God's promised this ministry and where you fit in that ministry. I know that God's called each and every one of us to do something. He's called us to get a hold of Him, to reach out, to make disciples of all nations. And God wants to do something for you this morning. And I believe that if you just come into this new season, if you say, God, I need something new. God, I need something fresh. God, I need you to move in my life. I want to go after you with all of my heart, with everything that's within me. And then God will do it. Father God, I pray, Lord, right now, God. I pray, God, for each and every person, God, that is in this sanctuary, God, that can hear the sound of my voice, God. I pray, God, that you would show them, God, that you have something new for them. You have something fresh, God. You got a greater anointing, God. You got a greater abilities for them, God. You want to do something great through them, God. But it's going to take them to step out, to reach out, to touch the hem of your garment, to get a hold of you, to seek you with all of their hearts. Father God, I pray, God, as we open this altar call, God, that your power would be here, God. It's not about me or anything that I can say, but it's only about your power and your anointing. God, I pray that you would just move. Come on, if this anything in this message has spoke to you, come to these altars. I believe that God wants to do something new in your life. He wants to give you a fresh fire, a fresh start.
Fresh anointing.